This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.
This tribunal is being conducted at 1917, 100 hours, 6 October 2004, onboard Naval Base Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
We're listening to a military tribunal for a terror detainee at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. You have likely heard about events like this. Now, for the first time, you can actually hear them. The U.S. military taped these proceedings. Lawyers for six of the detainees obtained the tapes through the Freedom of Information Act, and they gave NPR copies of the recordings. What we'll hear in the next few minutes is the main way the military determines if detainees deserve to be at Guantanamo. NPR National Security Correspondent Jackie Northam is covering this story. And Jackie, why is it important to pay attention to these court proceedings?
Well, these are the combatant status review tribunals, and they're a key part of the Bush administration's policy on the war on terrorism. In other words, how can they justify holding hundreds of suspected terrorists without charge at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba? These trials determine whether these men are enemy combatants. If they are, then the government says they can be held.
Now, Jackie, I know you've attended some of these tribunals in the past. Can you just describe where these tribunals are taking place, what's going to be happening on the tapes we're going to hear?
Well, they're held at Guantanamo Bay. They're in a trailer, small rooms, low ceilings. The detainees are not allowed lawyers because the Pentagon says this is an administrative process. There's a court recorder, there's a translator, and there's a panel of three military officers. And this is who the detainees can tell their story to, ask why they're there being held, and also appeal for release.
So what are we going to hear in this tape?
Well, we're going to hear from tribunals of two detainees, Haj Boudella and Mustafa Ait Idir. And this is how Mustafa's proceeding begins.
This tribunal will determine whether Mustafa Ait Idir has been properly classified as an enemy combatant against the United States or its allies, or otherwise meets the criteria to be classified as an enemy combatant. This tribunal shall now be sworn. All rise.
The audio recordings of the combatant status review tribunals are scratchy, of poor quality, and don't pick up much of what's happening in the small room. You can't sense facial expressions or body language, or that the detainee's arms and legs are shackled. However, you do hear the tribunal president ask Ait Idir if he's all right.
Are those on too tight?
Because I've had them on for a very long time, so.
Testimony at the tribunals doesn't appear to follow any set pattern. Some start with questioning from the military officers. At others, the detainee will launch into a speech about how they were arrested and sent to Guantanamo and how they're being treated at the detention camp. Ait Idir speaks through a translator for almost an hour before the tribunal president interrupts him to inquire further about an incident.
Are you saying that a soldier here at Guantanamo Bay broke your finger?
Soldiers took me and they placed me on the ground on the rocks outside.
What a privilege for you, which?
And I was bound from my hands and my feet.
Ait Idir is one of six Algerians who lived in Bosnia for about a decade before being arrested shortly after 9/11 on suspicion of plotting to bomb the American and British embassies in Sarajevo. The men were held for 3 months until Bosnia's Supreme Court acquitted all of them. Ait Idir and the others tell the tribunal that when they walked out of the police station, free men, they were quickly arrested again by Bosnian and U.S. officials, put on a plane and sent to Guantanamo. Haj Boudella, one of the other detainees, tells the military panel at his tribunal that this is the first time he's heard some of the accusations against him.
I've been here for 2 years, and these accusations just told me no interrogator or nobody ever mentioned anything any of these accusations you are talking to me about now. I've been here for 2 years, and there have been too many interrogations, and no interrogator ever mentioned any of these accusations. So how come this just came now?
What's striking is that despite not knowing fully why they're being held, enduring open-ended detentions and sometimes harsh interrogations, the detainees on these audio tapes express a faith that truth will prevail. Haj Boudella says his lawyer at the Boston firm WilmerHale sent him a letter and told him not to participate in the tribunal for fear of incriminating himself.
I want to participate, and I want to show you that I'm really innocent, and I want you to see because I can defend myself. Innocent, no matter how people try to cover your innocence will come out.
We appreciate your decision to participate.
The detainees question the panel about the evidence against them and ask for proof rather than just allegations. The audio recordings and transcripts show the unclassified evidence is slim. It includes a list of accusations, petitions from their lawyers for habeas corpus, which challenges their detention, and affidavits attached to those petitions. One has a letter from his wife. At one point, Eight Adir expresses disbelief over the lack of proof and tells a panel he hoped it had more evidence it could give him.
If I was in your place, supervisor came to me and showed me accusations like these, I would take these accusations and hit him in the face with them.
Eight Adir apologizes to the military panel for being so blunt.
Sorry about that.
Eight Adir, Budella, and the others all ask that they be allowed to provide the tribunal additional evidence, such as a copy of the decision by Bosnia's Supreme Court showing their acquittal. One detainee asks that his supervisor at the Red Crescent Society in Bosnia testify at the proceeding. He is told that a request was made twice to the U.S. State Department, which handles the matter, each time emphasizing the date of his tribunal. The tribunal president says there was no response from the State Department to either request. In some cases, the detainees' representatives don't know what efforts have or are being made to locate requested evidence. The only witnesses available to Eight Adir and Budella are the other men they were arrested with. Budella asks this one witness the most pertinent question.
Do you know if I belong to any terrorist organization or if I am a terrorist?
In a simple, almost naive answer, the witness tells the tribunal Budella is not a terrorist.
All what I know about this person, that he is very nice and very good person. For all the time I know him, and he takes good care of his family and his family man.
The military panel asks the detainees many questions during each tribunal, where they grew up, where they worked, had they ever been to Afghanistan, and if they belonged to any terror organizations, before wrapping up the unclassified session of the tribunal.
Mustafa, you shall be notified of the tribunal decision upon completion of the review of these proceedings by convening authority in Washington, D.C.
Steve, that was 2 years ago. Budella and Eight Adir were both found to be enemy combatants. They're still being held at Guantanamo Bay. In January, it'll be 5 years, and they still have not been charged.
No criminal charges in the case.
No charges against them.
We're listening to NPR's Jackie Northam, who brought us some tapes of detainees and their tribunals to determine their status at Guantanamo Bay. And Jackie, now that we've listened to this, how do these proceedings compare to the kind of criminal trial that Americans are familiar with?
Critics have always said that these types of tribunals are deeply flawed. They point to things like the detainees only allowed to sit in for the unclassified section of the trial. They're never allowed to see or hear, have any idea of the classified information against them. A study was done, actually, by Seton Hall University, some lawyers, and they crunched some numbers. They looked at hundreds of similar tribunals such as this, and they found that in most cases, the government never produced any witnesses at these tribunals, and that the detainees were only allowed to use other detainees as witnesses. In fact, you know, any time that they requested from somebody who was so-called off-island, never made it to the trial. And that's what we heard in these with these cases as well. So it's very indicative.
What does the Pentagon say about these proceedings and their fairness?
They say they are fair. You know, they say the men are allowed there. They're allowed to state their case. They're allowed to produce witnesses and produce any other evidence. But it just doesn't work out that way. And it's also very difficult to find witnesses, too. I remember the prosecutor once telling me that, you know, the addresses are in Afghanistan. Turn left at the big rock and turn right down the small dirt road. It's impossible to find some of these people. But in many other cases, it's not.
Okay, that's NPR's national security correspondent, Jackie Northam. Jackie, thanks.
Thank you.
And if you want to listen to more of these tribunal recordings obtained by NPR, as well as read declassified documents, just go to our website, npr.org.